Welcome back to another edition of Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, powered by Gerwek.net, the Weekend Warrior blog run by Rick Santos, at Real Rick Santos on Twitter. Hopefully you are listening in order, and you're not jumping around like a Quentin Tarantino film, and you've listened to session one of our chat with former WWE superstar Ricardo Rodriguez. We've gotten him the Iron Sheik money that he required. Actually, I think it was Sting money. He wanted WCW 1996 Sting money.
I'm a legend now. That shit. That's
I want to bring up
choreography.
Yeah, I need to bring up something that made me laugh the first time I met you. As I've told people in the previous session, you accidentally almost became a part of Kayfabe Wrestling Radio when you visited Lexi5's house, and I was sitting on the couch with you, and we're talking about stuff, and you told me this amazing bullcrap lie that when you go to the ring to do your intros for Alberto, you told me a bullcrap lie that I don't speak Spanish. I just know that phonetically. I was like, you jackass.
No, so I lie a lot, man. Like, I really do. that's like my pickup line with chicks. I'm just kidding. A lot of times it's like, hey, Alberto Rodriguez, Texas, Tijuanes. Just bullshit. All people want to hear is a foreign accent, and then the foreign accent will adrenaline heat. If you think about it, I can speak Hindi, Meranam, Jesus, right? So I can speak French, je m'appelle, me llamo Ricardo. just to get a reaction, because as far as the people know, it's foreign, it's not
right.
Them. That, and it's this constant, dilemma that we have with ourselves. I have a gum in my mouth. It's a constant dilemma that we have with ourselves of like, you're not me.
Right.
This is why the people are so high up on Trump. They're so high up on hey, you're not me. It's not a political issue. It really isn't. This motherfucker is just like playing his shit straight. And good for him. Fuck, man. Like he found a way to get the people. Because all I have to come in and say is, yo soy Mexicano. Yo soy, je suis français. I am different from you. And then the people will automatically switch. I can fucking feed 1,000 people with my left hand. Even though I'm right, I can feed 1,000 people in my left hand, and then come in and say, "En sentence, en français," yeah, and then they will switch.
That's amazing. That's the truth.
Because I'm not them. That's all thing, right?
Yeah.
And then it's sad. It really is sad. Given like where I came from, like my upbringing, like what I gave. What I paid for as a hard citizen American. Bullshit. Really. I don't even know how I got into this. like I said, I talk a lot.
You're fine. When WWE brings you in, you were hired off the Chimera character, right? Or am I wrong on that one?
So I got hired on the Chimera character. I was never hired as a ring announcer. Like, that was the thing. That was like the whole thing that got to me the most. Like, I was never hired to be a ring announcer. I was hired to be a wrestler. I just happened to fit the mold of the, hey, can you talk? I was like, yeah, sure. Can you ring announce? Sure, why not? And then I did it. And they liked it. And I got stuck with it. That's kind of how it went.
I had brought The conversation that I had brought up earlier, sitting at Lexi's house, you guys had just done a trip to Mexico where, like JBL on TV says it, that Alberto is Mexico's greatest export. They really, the United States fans, I don't think really grasp how over he was and you were when you went there. And I jokingly said to you, well, if you're a heel, why didn't you do your ring introduction in English to tick them off? And you said there was no way to do it. He's that over.
Yes. Why reinvent the wheel? That thing, you know? Especially, okay, so there's no way in hell you can ever stupefy the Mexican-American public. The American public, oh, God, yeah. You can do it right now. Yeah, I can tell you that like Roman Reigns is going to win WrestleMania tomorrow and Triple H runs it. I can do that. Mexico, no. Fuck no. There's no way in hell. Huevos, puto. I can tell them, like, oh, Roman's going to win. Huevos. They're not that stupid because we're all in on the whole like how life works over there.
Mm-hmm.
They know stupidity when they see it, which is very hard to deceive them. It really is. It actually really is. So that's like outside of the camera, like you know, it really is to like deceive the Mexican public. I'll leave it at that.
We had talked about in the previous session the surprise of when you guys did the parody of Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter. One of the other ones, a friend of mine, when I told a friend of mine I was going to be interviewing you, he had said you need to bring up his infamous Royal Rumble entrance in the car. Whose idea is that kind of thing? Is that you? Is that Vince? Who comes up with that?
No, that was just a mixture of like both of us. The way that came up was myself and some of the guys after FCW in Tampa. We went out to go eat, and we went for dinner. It was one of the guys' birthdays. I forget who it was. So we went for dinner, and that Patterson was actually at the Cheesecake Factory, because that's the only thing that was open, Big White. That was the only thing that was open. So that was the only thing that was open, and so we went in, had dinner, and nobody went up to Pat. And out of respect, obviously, out of respect, like, I went up to Pat, and I was like, hey, dude, like that. I was like, hey, I'll buy you a drink. So we chit-chatted, and then just randomly out of the conversation, because Del Rio was hurt, I was like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if I came out in the Rumble? So we laughed about it. It was bullshit, whatever, we had a couple of drinks, blah, 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 blah. Nothing came from it. And then I mentioned to Dean Malenko, who is an agent, I mentioned to him, I was like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if this happened? Fast forward to St. Louis at the Rumble. I go to the ring because I'm always the first one in the ring. I was always the first one in the ring. Always, always, always. And you can speak to anybody. I was always the first one in the ring. And then Michael Hayes comes up to me. He's like, hey, did you see a car? I'm like, what? Did you see a car? I'm thinking somebody like you know, we're back in L.A. or something like fucking like pop my tires. Like, no, mom was like, he's like, no, did you see a car? So he points me to my car, and it's right behind the scene. And I was like, ah, shit. Okay. He's like, yeah, you're in the Rumble. Did nobody tell you? I was like, no, nobody told me. I was like, all right, so cool. Like, I'm in the Rumble. All right. And then I look at the car, and I'm cool with it. And then I look at it, and it's like, oh, shit, it's a stick. I haven't driven a stick since I was, like, 14 when my dad taught me. I was like, can I take it outside? And then Michael was like, no, there's no time. I was like, shit. Thankfully, thankfully, this dude had a Jeep. He had Jeep Cherokee. It's a stick. You can just drive it so you can, you know, get familiarized. So I drove that motherfucker for like about 2 hours. Yes, right before the Rumble, because that was my main priority. Just make sure you don't crash. Make sure you don't kill anybody. Make sure everybody's safe. So I drove that car for about an hour, 2 hours, before the Rumble. But it all came from just me saying, "Hey, wouldn't it be funny if?" And that's how it came about.
That is wow.
Here's the thing, like, don't ever be afraid to just speak out. Because I've had a lot of opportunities since I left the ring. My dog's like walking over me. I've had a lot of opportunities come up just because of me just saying, fuck it, why not? What do I have to lose? This is probably like the biggest advice I have for like the younger guys. If you have nothing holding you back, you just say, fuck it, man, just go. And seriously, just go. Have fun. Enjoy.
Is that how you did the announcing thing? Because was it just, they asked you how to, like you said, you know, you weren't a trained ring announcer, but they offered and you said yes.
I spoke Spanish.
And that's it? They're just like, sit in the seat?
Yeah, pretty much. I spoke Spanish. I've seen TV before. And that's how I got hired.
Was there reluctance on your part to do it, or did you have fun sitting out there being an announcer?
I'm sorry, one more time?
Did you have fun being an announcer, or were you just gritting your teeth the whole time?
No, of course, I had my fun. Like, for instance, up until this date, I might be mistaken, I'm Bret Hart's last match.
Yeah, I think you are.
Right. I wrestled in my, even though it wasn't a match, I wrestled Rey Mysterio, Sheamus, Sin Cara, Bret Hart. I wrestled them. They're under my belt. That's something that nobody can ever take away from that. Yeah. Morrison, bunch of those guys, like, that's something that nobody can ever take away from me. And I live that, and I'm okay with it.
How hard is it for you not to look like a trained professional wrestler when you're out there in tag matches during that run? Because I know you're a trained wrestler and can fly all over the place and put on an amazing match, but how hard is it for you? Was it easy for you to hold back and just go, okay, I gotta do like old school Bobby Heenan or Jimmy Hart, and I'm not a wrestler, I'm just the ring announcer guy?
You're missing the point. That wasn't my job. My job was to make the guy that was in the ring make him look good. You're David Tunga. Oh, goddamn. I wrestled David Tunga several times, and how good can I make somebody like him? You know, make him a star. It wasn't about me putting myself over. That's the whole thing that people forget about wrestling. It's not me putting myself over. I'm not a mark for myself. I'm not a little fucking faggot that's gonna put myself over. It's me and you against them. It's not me versus you versus them. That's not the point.
No. Mm-hmm.
It's us two versus them. That's what people forget. Like, okay. So what do we want to get across? We want to cross, let's say, and I'm just throwing names out there, so this doesn't have anything to do with anything. Let's say Kimberly versus, Mia, right? It's not Mia versus Kimberly. It's Mia and Kimberly versus the crowd.
Right.
get over yourself. It's fucking work. It's a theatrical theater. Like, we have that stupid little car that turns into Bumblebee and then makes people believe that it's all real. No, fuck off, man. I'm that car that turns into the Bumblebee and makes people believe it's real.
Right.
I'm going to be that person that makes you believe that whatever I punch is hurting. That's my reality. If I tell you I'm good, and then you didn't think, oh, you're full of yourself. You're full of shit. Okay, fine. But if I tell you that I'm not good, you're going to think that I'm lying. You know?
When he recently left WWE, Sami Callihan did interviews where he said that how people can despise John Cena and say crap about John Cena and they don't know the backstage John Cena.
Okay.
Is he the same? Is that something that also you buy into?
So I love Sami, right? Because he spent so many nights here at my house.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love him. Here's my thing on internet darling. You're Kevin Owens, you're AJ Styles. If I say something to you, you're gonna blow it off. But if they say it, oh my God, everybody's gonna jack off and they fucking like come all over themselves. I made comments about like Triple H making references about my sickness.
Right.
The internet fucking went off on me. But then Kevin Owens does it. Oh my God, you said fucking bullshit or whatever. Like, dude, get over yourself. I made comments about John Cena, and I told him, I was like, dude, John, and this is maybe 3 years ago. I made comments about like how awesome he is and how like everything he has, he deserves it because he's such a good dude. I put him over, but I'm not internet darling, right? And then Sami does it, and I told him, and I told Sami, I was like, oh, they're in your fucking mark. No, but he gets it. He gets it.
Mm.
And then the internet goes off. I was like, oh my God, yeah, jack off. Dude, I fucking said the same thing a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an internet dude. I'm not your Kevin Owens. I'm not your AJ Styles. I'm not your little Sami Callihan. I'm not your Shane Strickland. I'm not your Ricochet. Whatever. I'm not them. Everything that has been said before.
Oh, I'm sure. I want to play Truth or Rumor with you. Truth or Rumor, when the Shield first came up, they got a lot of crap because they didn't know how to treat people like Dolph Ziggler, who was the champion, and were not getting out of his way to dress, and he almost had to dress in the hall once because of the trio.
Dude, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck? No.
Like I said, I heard a rumor. I don't know how true it is, but I know you're a great BS detector, so I was curious to see what you thought of that one.
Say it again.
That when the Shield first came up on the main roster, they had heat with the locker room, that at one point they had spread their stuff out so bad that Dolph Ziggler, who was then champion, had to dress in the hallway, dressed in the hallway.
We were in San Antonio. It's a small locker room. It was a small locker room. They didn't know. I mean, here's the thing, though. Like, they didn't know any better. It was a very small locker room. So It wasn't necessarily their fault. It was just one of those where, like, hey, dude, it's a small locker room. Get your shit off. Let the champ change. It was just a small locker room. That's all it was.
Oh, okay.
But they didn't know any better. Eventually, we smartened them up, and then they changed their habits.
What do you think of the current situation that they have now, where it almost seems like there's more roster members injured than are in the ring? Has something changed that we don't know about in wrestling, that now all these guys are getting injured?
People don't realize like the schedule that we're on, or that they are on. They don't realize the schedule that they're on. These motherfuckers are machines. Even machines get broken. The spin on the wheels can get broken every so often. And everybody deserves a break, but people don't give them that. We want to like beat off over John Cena. We want to beat off over your Bray Wyatt, your Roman Reigns, your whatever. No, dude, like we're all human. We all break. Give them a fucking break. We're not machines.
What's the worst injury you've ever had?
I broke my leg a couple times.
Oh my god.
But I wrestle the next week.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know it was broken. Mind you, here's the thing, though. Like, growing up from the independence, growing up in the immigrant family that I was in, we didn't have insurance. So if I got hurt, my mom would just say, fuck, and suck it up.
All right.
So I broke my leg, and I was like, okay, well, all right, I'll check it up. And then I wrestled next week. Later on, it got, like, really bad. I was told that if I didn't stop, they were going to have to amputate my leg.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was shitty. So I had to stop wrestling for a couple months.
No.
But my whole thing was, suck it up. I'm not a bitch.
Before we wrap this up, and it's been great having you here, you've been starting back up with a lot of United States dates, and I know you just did Heroes and Legends in Iowa. Did I get the name of that right?
Yeah, 2 days ago.
Are you finding... getting back in the swing of things from being overseas easy? Is it just like put the ring outfit back on and get Chimera in your mindset, or was there any hesitation?
No. Thankfully through the powers that have been, just getting out there has been a blessing. I'm glad and I'm thankful that what I did in WWE is finally paying off, even though those fuckers never like paid me off. I'm glad that I'm out there and I'm doing my thing and I'm happy. That's the whole thing, man. Seriously, that's the whole thing. I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom has no price. Yeah. That's part of the biggest thing. Is freedom has no price.
If you enjoyed this interview with him, you need to purchase two interviews. I'm going to shill for him because his RF video shoot with Rob Feinstein was great. Also, you need to get the U shoot that Alberto, then known as Alberto El Patron, did with Kayfabe Commentaries, where I nearly spit my soda across my laptop during, because this guy shows up in the middle of the interview out of nowhere. Did you like doing those interviews? Do you like sitting and doing those things?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I sat through most of them, so yeah. Also, I was pretty heavily alcohol influence.
Before I let you go, the other question that I'm sure you get asked over and over is the one I'm gonna ask, because I would be stupid if I didn't. Were you stunned that Alberto re-signed with WWE after the way things ended? Or is it like the Ultimate Warrior, Marty Jannetty-like thing? Everybody comes back at least once or twice, or in certain people's cases, 7,000 times?
No, I knew he was coming back. Like, he told me. Here's the thing, though. Like, and I keep telling people, but I don't think people like believe me. The relationship that I have with him, like, he's my brother. I spent 4 years with him, you know, together. So that's my brother. That's my blood. You know, that's my other. I was happy for him. Like, there was never, ever, like, any jealousy. There was never any, like suspicious, whatever, bullshit. That's my dude. Like, he's my brother. You know, so I was happy for him. Would have been great if we came back together, of course. But I was okay with him going back. Just because I know what it meant for his family. I know what it meant for his wife. So I was okay with him. And again, there was never jealousy. That's what I want people to realize. There was never jealousy. Never, ever, ever, ever. That's my brother. I'm happy for him. I'm okay with it. You know? So him coming back, I'm happy for him. And then not only that, but then to drop the title to one of my signings, Kalisto.
Oh yeah. He's awesome.
To me, everything just came full circle to me. I was that proud dad. I was like, yeah, that's my boy. That's my kid. I was happy because he put in the work, and he did it with one of my best friends. You know, so I was happy. I was okay with it.
Well, we like you will be watching WrestleMania, where Kalisto will make his WWE humongous U.S. title match against Ryback. If he gets his Twitter back under control, yeah, he's on WrestleMania.
Ryback?
Yeah, Ryback's taking on Kalisto, man.
All right. Well, there's something new every day.
Yeah, well, you need to get back on the Twitter. Once he is at RRWWE. I am at my name is Wojcik. That is spelled Wojcik. Thank you for joining us here. I hope you also will enjoy our recent visits with Scott Hudson, the legendary Mike Mooneyham. I'm Alan Wojcik. We will see you at the matches. And goodbye from the Sunshine State.